This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We've been sharing around Abram's faith and asking this question, what made his faith so great that God calls him the father of faith? And we ourselves who believe like him becomes part of the covenant that God made with Abram. Here in Romans chapter 4, from verse 20 to 22, we read, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accredited to him as righteousness. A very powerful summary of what we've been sharing the past four Sundays. If you've missed out, you're more than welcome to download the sermons for free on the website. Abram's faith could be summarized like this. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he said, that he acted on his faith and was instantly obedient to do what God said. And God accredited that to him as righteousness. It's a very powerful picture of God's definition of faith. Because he acted in faith, God accredited to him as righteousness. And God made a covenant with this man, not just with Abram, but all who believe like him. Not just his descendants, but the New Testament makes it so powerfully clear that all who believe like him are the true children, the true descendants of Abram. And so God promised Abram an inheritance. He promised him an offspring and he promised him blessing. But as we read the life of Abram, we see that those promises that God made to Abram did not happen instantly. It took time. As a matter of fact, it took time and then it required something from Abram because God's promises that he made, that he was fully assured that God is able to do what he said, because it did not happen instantly. It required something from Abram's faith. It took his faith to a different level. There is something that God required of his faith that was more than instant obedience. More than acting on what God said in full assurance and in trust. There was something that helps us to understand God's the definition of faith. Those promises did not happen instantly. It took time and thus required patience and endurance. Something powerful Abram had to learn about God's promises and how we should live in accordance to faith. What does it mean to have faith in God? What does it mean to be fully assured? It is to act on that faith, but to act on it with endurance. The biblical definition of faith includes these two powerful concepts of patience and faith, or patience and endurance. Two powerful concepts of faith. Something we hope for, not only with full assurance, but with patience and endurance to the end. You see, biblical faith is not just be fully assured of something today, but is to be fully assured of something until it happens. And that's the lesson Abram had to learn. We read here in Hebrews 6 from verse 11 to 15, and we desire each of you to show the same earnestness and have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those that through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God had made a promise to Abram, because he could not swear by one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you, and I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. See, God promised Abram an offspring. He promised him a son. And Abram believed God. He was fully assured that God was able to do what he said, but he had to wait for it, 25 years. before the sun came. He had to learn that it's not just being fully assured, but you have to have patience. You have to have endurance with faith to see the promise of God materialize. And during that time, Abram had to learn this very important reality of faith. True faith requires endurance, patience. When God first promised Abram a son, Abram believed God. But it took time. It took a very, very long time. As a matter of fact, after 10 years of patiently waiting, Abram's patience ran out. And he started to make his own plan. And we heard of it last couple of weeks. That is where Ishmael was born. Because he had faith, but his patience was not strong enough. His endurance not long enough. He made his own plan. And Ishmael was born, and we know the reality of Ishmael to this very day. God said to Abram, "That is not my promise. You will have a son with Sarah. That is my promise." But you know what? Even when God reaffirmed his promise to Abram, he did not tell him how long he would have to wait. It was another 15 years before Isaac was born. You see, Abram learned something about faith and God's promises. Something that we as modern Christians need to learn. You know, as modern Christians, we read something and we even believe it when we read it. But when it doesn't happen instantly or the way we thought it should happen, our faith starts to dwindle. And we are so easily tempted to give up. We pray for the sick. We trust God for something. We give, and then nothing happens. And it's not that we completely lose faith. It's just we become sluggish. We still believe, but we don't pray for the sick ourselves anymore. We still read God's word, but we don't place our trust and our hope fully in it and act on it as we used to in the beginning when we just got saved. We were full of zeal and fully convinced that God was able to do what he said, and then when it didn't instantly happen or didn't happen the way we thought it would, our faith becomes sluggish. We still believe that God heals, but we don't pray for the sick ourselves. We still give, but we're not convinced that it is true. And so I can use the examples as our faith becomes sluggish because it didn't happen instantly or the way we thought it would. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, I read it again, says, "And this is our desire for each one of you, to have the same earnestness and have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abram, because he could not swear by one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." God's definition of faith, not just being fully assured and acting on it, but have patience, endurance, until the fulfillment of God's word. There was something about Abram's faith that should be an example to us all, something that we are meant to imitate. Abram had to learn patience and endurance. Even though he didn't see the promise, he had to keep on believing. As a matter of fact, he had to keep on believing for 25 years. And then the promise came. That's why verse 11 says so powerful, "We desire that each one of you to show the same earnestness and have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but be imitators of those through faith and patience inherit the promise. You see, you need two things for God's promise to be a reality. For to gain the inheritance, you need faith and endurance. And so that is our challenge today. It's very interesting, the Greek word for patience that most translations do not use in the modern language, for a good reason, because we don't like that word. The word for patience and endurance in the Greek is called long suffering. So which one would you prefer? To inherit God's promise, you need faith and patience, or faith and long suffering? Which one would you like? The first, eh? That's why the modern translations have it as it is. Because we don't like this concept of long suffering. Well, Abram had to suffer long, having to try with Sarah for 25 years until finally the promise came, just as God said. You see, true faith is something that endures time and hardship. Habakkuk 3 verse 17 to 18 is a very challenging scripture, but it encourages us that our faith should endure time and hardship. It says, as though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive tree fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take my joy in God of my salvation. See, even if everything fails, I will keep on believing. Because my trust is not in what I see, but in the one who promised. That is the life of Abram. When God called him out of his country to go to a country he did not know, for a son he could not have, and an inheritance he could not perceive, yet he trusted God. And that faith he had to learn. How many times do we start to doubt when we do not immediately see what was promised? When we give, when we pray, when we read God's word, we so easily start to become sluggish in our faith. What made this man's faith so great? Why is he called the father of faith? Why are we meant to imitate him? And what is there to learn from his life? When God spoke to Abram, he believed God. He was fully convinced. That's the first thing that we see. When God speaks to this man, he believes God, and he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he did. Secondly, he acted on that faith. He actually stepped out of his country, of his family and his father's house, and he followed God. He was instantly obedient, not out of obligation because he was under a law, but because of faith, faith in God. And then thirdly, what we see today is that he had endurance. He had to learn endurance. Hebrews 10 verse 36 says, "For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Isn't that powerful? The biblical definition of faith. You see, Abram did the will of God by leaving and following God, but then he had to learn endurance. He had to wait 25 years for the promised son, and after he'd done the will of God, the promise with endurance came. There is something encouraging in this story. Abram didn't have endurance in the beginning. Well, he did. It lasted 10 years. But God stretched that endurance. And so too in our lives. The faith that God is looking for is not just to be fully convinced to what I can see, determined by what I see and experience right now, right here, but whether I'm willing to believe and trust God until I see it, no matter how long it takes. That's the faith that God is looking for. The encouraging thing is, Abram learned that faith. He had to learn it. We just heard this word earlier that God is a loving father. What is so amazing about Abram's faith and the process of learning endurance When his faith and patience ran out and he had Ishmael, God did not rebuke him and said, "This is it. I'm done with you. Your faith is not good enough." No. He's a loving father. You know what God did? He encouraged him. He reaffirmed his promise and says, "Have faith in me." So he did two things when Abram failed. We'll get to that. But I want us to read this again. You see, because God corrected Abram, then he reaffirmed his promise, encouraging him, and then he gave him some more time. He gave him an extra 15 years. You see, endurance, long suffering, does something to our faith. There's a reason it is so important. We read of this in Romans chapter 5 from verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope for the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame." You see, endurance produces character. Endurance is the catalyst of growth in us. There is something about endurance. It is the growth stimulus for our faith. It purifies it. Strengthens it, and it changes our faith into character. See, there's something about faith that is very powerful. It changes who you are. And so too, if we read, and that's for another time, but I'll give you two for a little preview. It's for free. As Abram learned, faith with endurance, it changed who he was, and God gave him a new name. You see, something about endurance changes my character, who I am. That's why you will see in so many places in the Bible when it speaks about spiritual growth, add to your faith this, and to this, that, and to that, endurance that leads to godliness. See, there's something about endurance in faith that changes us. Our faith is not just rooted in what we see now. Our faith is meant to be rooted in what God promised. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, we know it so well, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." You see, that is true faith. It's the lesson we've learned from Thomas, the apostle. To this very day, many still call him the doubting Thomas. You see, because Thomas's faith was rooted in what he could see. Its foundation was what I can see and touch, here and now. And the encouraging thing is, again, God did not leave him, but came to him. And so we read here in John 20, "Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the marks of the nails, and place my finger in the marks of the nails, and to place my hand into his side, I will never believe.'" Unless I see, I will not believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Come." put your finger in my hands. Put your hand in my side. And do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him with a very powerful statement from a Jewish man, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." Yes, God's promises is not just for eternity. It is for here and now. But our faith is not primarily rooted in what we see here and now. Our faith should lead us to believe, obey, and live primarily because of what He has promised, and our faith in who He is, and not what He can do for us, but what He has said He's going to do. And I want the ushers to hand out for us communion. As we meditate and respond to God, I want us just to take a moment and just in our own hearts, where we are seated, just as we close our eyes, I want us to think about this. I want us to meditate upon God's Word and what the Holy Spirit laid on our hearts concerning faith and endurance. And so I want to ask you this question: is your faith based on what you see, or is your faith based on who it is who made these promises? And so I want us just to take a moment, just as your eyes are closed, just spend some time with God and speak to Him. Lord, we hear Your Word today as You say that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. And that we have need of endurance so that after we have done the will of God, we may receive the promises. And God, so this morning I pray for endurance in our hearts. Lord, I pray for endurance in our faith. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will teach us as You did with Abram what it means to have faith in You. That we need to add endurance and patience. That our faith is not based on what we see, but in You and You alone. And so this morning as our eyes are closed, I believe there are some here that God is saying to you specifically, do not give up hope. I do not know who you are, but God is saying to you, do not give up hope. Have patience. Have endurance. I will do what I said I will do. And if that is you this morning and you want to respond to God, I want you just to raise your hand. Say, God, here I am. I hear what you're saying to me. Thank you for those hands. I just want you to raise it between you and God. For some here this morning, I believe you have become sluggish in your faith. Oh, you believe, but it didn't happen the way you thought it would, and it didn't happen in the time frame you thought it should. And your faith has become sluggish. And this morning, God is encouraging you like He did with Abram. He's reaffirming to you His Word that I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I do not lie. I do not change. Have faith in me. And if you know your faith has taken a knock, God is encouraging you to turn back to Him with that same zeal you had in the beginning. It's a step of faith all over again. If that is you, while all the eyes are closed, just respond to Him, saying, God, here I am. I know it's me. I need to return to that faith, that zeal, that confidence in you. Just between you and the Lord, just raise your hand. Thank you. You can drop it again. And then there are others. You need to take this first step. Maybe you've been like Thomas. You say, I will never believe until I see. God is saying to you today, I want you to believe without seeing. I want you to take that step of faith like your father Abram did. He did not see the country. He did not see the sun. But he was willing to believe. He took that step and he left everything and followed me. And look what I have done. I want to do the same to you. Just believe. You have to believe. If that is you this morning, and you know you need to take that step of faith, God has been speaking to you. I want you just to respond to Him by raising your hand and say, God, here I am. I want to give you my life. I want to follow you with everything. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Just respond to Him. There we go. Thank you for that hand. Anyone else? This is what this morning is all about. It's an encounter with God. It is being challenged with the reality of the truth of the existence of God, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And if that is you today, I want you just to respond. Say, God, I want to give you my life and follow you. For anyone else? I want to pray a prayer with those who raise their hands, maybe for everyone. I want us all to take a step of faith this morning as we all stand together. If you've raised your hand, we can all stand. If you've raised your hand, whether it is an encouragement from God or a correction or maybe the first time you take this step, I want to ask you to come forward and we want to pray with you. I want you to take a step of faith. A full assurance that God who speaks is able to do what He said. And if that is your desire, we'd love to pray with you. So I want to ask you, if you raised your hand for any of those three reasons, I want you to come forward. We'd love to pray with you. So quickly, if that is you, we're going to partake communion together as you come to the front. Let's quickly act on our faith. Let's come forward and say, God, here I am. I choose to believe. Fully convinced that you're able to do what you said. I believe you're encouraging me today. I believe you are calling me back today. And I believe that today, if I give my life to you, I will be yours forever and part of a covenant that will never end until Jesus returns. If that is you, just come forward. I want to ask the ushers to come also and help us to pray. Please, ushers, I want you to ask each and every person who have come forward. Can we just move forward, please? Just move here in the middle. There's more people that want to come through in the aisle. Just move right up. Just move right up to the middle. Just more right up. We need some space. Move forward. Okay. I want the ushers to ask every person what they need to pray for. And then pray for them. Pray with them as we trust God. So we're going to have communion together. Then the ushers are going to pray with each and every person. And as we finish communion, we're going to have some worship and then we're going to dismiss the meeting. If you need a prayer, please come forward. But Father, we thank you that we can stand in faith today because of what you've done for us. We were not there the day you died on the cross, but you gave us communion to remind us and to focus our faith in what you have done for us. Lord, today we choose to believe that it was your body that was broken for us, that you became sin for us, so that we may be free from the judgment and the wrath that we deserve because of the sin in us. You took it and placed it on your son and you punished him so that we can come to you in full assurance of faith that you will receive us because of our faith in Jesus, because of the price that he paid, so that we can come to you by grace and not works, because you did all the work. We only believe. And today we declare as we eat together that we believe. Let's eat together in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. It's you that says that this blood of Jesus cleanses us. It washes us. It makes us new. It seals us in the covenant. Just like with Abram, because you had no greater name to swear by, you swore by yourself. You cut the pieces in half. You made the covenant. And you had Abram stand on the side to show to him that you are able to do and you're going to do what you said. You did the same with us with Jesus. You came to this earth. You humbled yourself and you were willing to die for us, that there should be no uncertainty how much you love us and how much you offer us in him. And God, today we choose to believe that as we drink this cup. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just worship the Lord as we continue to minister.
Your faithfulness, your faithfulness.
we thank you that you are true, you do not change, and you love us. And if you love us, who can be against us? You gave your Son to prove to us how much, not just you love us, but how much faith you have in what you promise, so that we may know. God, I pray for that in each and every one of our hearts, Lord, that we will grow in our faith to such an extent that it changes us, that we become more like your Son in this world. So I pray this blessing over each and every one here today as we leave this place with greater faith, with greater patience, endurance, zeal, and life, life in abundance. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. There's some refreshments. Please remember the 2-minute rule. First 2 minutes, spend some...
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.